I speak to you in God's holy name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The theme of today is radical love. Radical love. Not just love, but radical love. Love beyond imagining. Love beyond safety. Love beyond what we think of when we think about love. And it starts off by us hearing in the election of the day to Joseph. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be Joseph's brothers who had tried to kill their brother because of jealousy, but instead had thrown him into a pit and then sold him off as a slave, and he went down to Egypt. And time goes by, and the fortunes of the family go downhill, and of everybody, because of a drought, a famine. And they go down seeking help from Egypt. There's Egypt prepared, big granaries full of grain bursting from the good years. And here come down Joseph's brothers, hat in hand, wanting help. And of course, they're foreigners. And who do they meet? They meet their brother who they trashed, who they tried to kill. And he's the guy in charge of all the grain. Can you imagine the overwhelming shock they had? It must have given God a giggle to watch it all happening. It is a perfect movie on this Oscar day to see unfolding. But what does Joseph do? He doesn't demean them. He doesn't trash them. Instead, he welcomes them. He cries over them and hugs them, gives them a kiss. And of course, his genuineness and his accepting must have just driven their guilt even bigger inside. But maybe they were so numb by this time they didn't notice what was going on. But whether it's a metaphor or truth or a metaphor evolving out of a truthful situation, it is very important for us. For here is a tangible living example of spiritual love. Joseph could have been mean. He could have really put it on them. And perhaps his emotional self wanted to do that. We don't know. But he didn't. Instead, he accepted them, gave them forgiveness, and worked at reconciliation. That is radical love. And then we come forward to Paul's teaching in the epistle for the day. And Paul, in his epistle for today, really talks about the nature of heaven and the nature of life, how we are a seed and the seed dies and nothing new comes out of that, that's fresh and green. And that's somewhat like we are. And then we come to Jesus' teaching here. This is where the golden rule comes from. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Verse 31 of Luke chapter 6. But this is a challenge for us because we live now. And over the years, people try to interpret and say, what does this mean for me living today in 2019? Am I to just be stupid and let people abuse and use me because I'm to love like Jesus loved? What does this mean? Or am I to be more like the way of the world is today? The way of the world today is not the vision of Jesus. The way of the world today, I think people seem to think that there's still going to be U-Hauls full of all their goods following the hearse that's taken them to their final resting place. But the reality is that we are to practice radical love. We are to give, but at the same time, we are to have some boundaries. We are to be caregivers and caretakers. We had a discussion in our Bible study this morning about that. It's giving with boundaries. But you still give, and you give beyond just, well, I always like to think, I know I've used this example here before, but it's one of my favorites. I'm getting old, and I'm allowed to use my old favorites. Think of if you had eggs and bacon for breakfast. You know, the pig was committed, and the hen was involved with your breakfast. We are to be committed in our way of loving. We're not just to be involved in life, but committed in life. We are committed to following Jesus. We are committed about loving. And we have to get beyond some of our emotional boundaries. For me, one of the most tangible current examples are people who volunteer in a group called NOLA. And there's another associated group. And NOLA stands for No One Leaves Alone. And there's another group that's similar to it, working with sex offenders, prisoners coming out of the prisons, who have done horrendous things. I'm not going to take away. I never absolve anybody of their crime. But these are also still human beings, not to be put aside and forgotten about forever. But what NOLA and its associated group, COSA, does is form a circle of five or six volunteer people, form around the offender coming out of the prison, and walk beside this offender. They don't love what the person did, whether it be a sex offense or a murder or scamming somebody out of money or whatever it might be. But what they try to do is form a community of care, which includes good boundaries, saying no, to these people to help re-socialize them in a way that is real, to help them fit in with our society, to leave the old culture they had, and to help them understand, because most criminals are not born as criminals. Most criminals are made by things, events in their lives, child abuse, addictions, and so on, which happens to them at an early age. And so what the COSA group and the NOLA group do is to help the person re-socialize, for them to realize that here's five citizens who are not getting paid a penny by the government. They're not doing it for their own advantage. They're going beyond their own comfort zones and walking beside this prisoner. And they may walk beside them for 5 and 10 and 15 years, helping them to be a core group that they can turn to and learn to trust and talk about their inner selves. It's an effort to re-socialize. And that to me is radical love, because you're working with people whose crime is really disgusting and you don't even like at all. But there's a separation. I can love the sinner but hate the sin. And so these people in the NOLA group and the COSA group are there to help these people get re-socialized and live lives. And they've done studies. COSA has been around and NOLA has been around for a long time. I take pride that I named NOLA. But that these groups have been around long enough that the studies have shown that the recidivism rate is so good with people who are involved in these groups. The reoffense rate is, I think, 2 in 10, whereas the normal reoffense rate is 7 in 10. So it's a significant improvement from all types of crimes. And in the sex offending rate, the rate is even better. I think the rate is, last time I looked, was 4 out of 100. Which is very significant. So that's radical love being practiced. But that's the kind of challenge that Jesus lays out for us here, is how do we radically love? And we all have examples in our own lives. Reconciliation work that we are working through with people from First Nations who live around us, where we ourselves, as settler people, make ourselves vulnerable and take responsibility for the errors that we have committed. Not ourselves, maybe, but our group generations ago. We made mistakes, and we own up to it, and we don't try to minimize it. We say, yes, we messed it up. What can we do now to walk together to form a new world and a new community? That's radical love. Radical love takes many forms. I'm working with a group right now that's making a daycare for people in dementia, using Montessori methods so that the people with dementia can go there for some time every day and give the caregivers a chance to have a bit of time for themselves, but also in an organized way to keep folks in their homes longer. And it's a good idea. Away from dementia is their tagline. But there's lots of radical examples of radical love going on. And I encourage all of us here as Christians, the people of the New Jerusalem, because that's part of how we were known as Christians, to think about examples and maybe opportunities that come up into your midst of doing radical love. Like, I know it's radical love for some of you going and helping children read at the library or in the schools when you really could be doing something else, but you do that. That's part of radical love. And so today, as we receive the sacrament, we have the echo of Jesus' words in our ears. I encourage us all to be open in this season of light, the season of the Epiphany, for this is essentially the last Sunday of the Epiphany, to open ourselves up to how can we, through radical love, be lights in the world, reflecting the light of Jesus, which is alive in us. May God bless us all. Amen.